Thanks for choosing to listen to another City Point West podcast. I trust that this message empowers and encourages you to continue your journey of faith. Enjoy.
We celebrate this amazing, amazing Good Friday. Amazing day. Wonderful day. I love Easter and Christmas, as I always say to you. You know, just as I start, Isaiah 53, while you're still giving, says this. He was wounded our transgressions. He was bruised. When you're wounded, you bleed. When you're bruised, you internally bleed. He was chastened for our peace. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastened for our peace. I thought as I read that this morning, I've got one more part to say to that. I thought this morning as I thought, wow, if ever we need the blood of Jesus today to speak to our world, there's so many voices, so many antichrist spirits, and so much happening. You know, it wants to bring intimidation to the church. Now they want to bring religious freedoms that'll bring no freedom, but bondage, you know, and we got to pray that God breaks through on that and not be intimidated. You know, somehow or other, Satan always wants our minds to be belittled and fit into the mold. Christ Jesus doesn't fit the mold, and nor do we. We make the mold. We bring hope to the world. We bring change to human hearts. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. What happened on Friday? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastened for our peace. He bore the stripes, 49 stripes, for our healing. But on Sunday, he took the handwriting requirements that was against us and nailed them to the cross on Friday. But on Sunday, he took the keys of the kingdom and he rose again. Paul said this in Corinthians, said, had Satan known what he was doing, he would never have crucified the King of Glory. But we know the truth today. We're not intimidated by the world system. We're not intimidated for our faith. But do you know, I know in the atmosphere like this, we need one another. We need the Word of God. We need the power of God to strengthen us on the inner man by faith. And so that scripture was written not after Jesus did what he did, but some 700 years before the occasion. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, it will come from the rod of Jesse. I don't know if anyone knew there was a Jesse. 700 years before. But did this great prophet speaking and pointing us to the great redemption that God had in place for you and I, but just not for us today, but for the entire world. That's why Jesus says, lift up your eyes to the harvest. Don't include us. Include this city, Brisbane West. Include the hearts and lives. See, he was wounded for their transgressions. He was wounded for ours. He was bruised for their iniquity. We know the brokenness of a lost world. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich, everyone say rich. Rich in what? Mercy. Rich in mercy. So rich that every morning it's new. You can't deplete it. That's how powerful it is. And this blood is what he took to the mercy seat. That is in the tabernacle, not made with hands today, but built in the heavens and now dwells in our hearts. And so this morning, I just want to do a quick circle around the tabernacle or God's plan of redemption through the blood. Because a lot of people go, why the blood? When I was a young guy growing up, we were in the Methodist church and they spoke a lot about the blood. And then we went united. I'm not sure what we were united with, but we certainly didn't unite with Christ. But, you know, I'm not saying the United Church hasn't got a purpose in God, but, you know, ours lost its way. They took a hymn book and took every song that talked about the blood out. They said it's reproachful to the lost. And I remember I was only 14 years old, and I remember saying to our minister, of course it's reproachful to the lost. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those. But I said, in God, in his foolishness, has made a way for the anointing to break through and to break through into hearts and lives for the great redeeming power of Jesus Christ to flow in. So if we follow God's plan to come back to us after Adam and Eve, and I don't want to preach long on that, I just want to make a statement on it. We find that God comes to Abraham and sets up a covenant. It says in Hebrews, nothing is paid for without blood. And so what did Abraham have to do? He had to kill a cow and a calf or something else, and he made a sacrifice to God because of the shedding of blood, because the covenant's cut. This covenant was that in all the earth, through him, in all the earth, an old man had a wife that was old, couldn't have a baby, but God said, through you, all the earth shall be blessed. And we know the miracles that happened as this man walked in the promises of God and did not waver in unbelief, but believed God that calls those things to be not and gives life to the dead. Amen. Amen. But you know what? We're of the same faith of Abraham. And we believe that. He gives life to the dead. Don't lose hope in the world right now. We are the hope. If you lose hope, there is no hope. We are the hope, anchored in Jesus Christ. That's what Hebrews chapter 6 says. We have this hope, anchored in Jesus. Not moved by the circumstances of life, but moved by the power of the Word of God living and abiding in our hearts. It goes from Abraham. We find his seed then finds themselves in captivity, 400 years. I would really want to sit down with Jesus when I get to heaven and say, God, how would you have done so many miracles for for 100 years and then abolished these guys into slavery for 400 years? I'll have to have a talk to God on that. You've probably got the answers, but I'm not real smart, so I just need to talk to God on that. You know, but the deal is that God says, I'm going to bring them out as a great nation. They grow to well over 2 million people, and God brings them out miraculously. But on the night of their deliverance, after 10 plagues, we find this, that Pharaoh himself is the one that brought the curse against his house, because Moses told him, whatever you speak is going to be what's happening. And he said, curse all those, let's kill all the firstborn. And Moses said, oh my God, surely not. He's going to kill us. And God said, put the blood, everyone say the blood, over the doorpost. Can you imagine you come home on Friday, Good Friday morning, and you get up and there's blood all over your door? I can imagine what Trish would have said about that. You know, even though she's a believer, I don't think it would have thrilled her, but blood over there. And they had to eat and do whatever they need to do. If you've not read that, read it. Make sure you read the story in Genesis from about whatever it is you go through. Read the whole of Genesis. It'll be good for you. Amen. We always want to cut corners. Get the whole lot. Amen. Get the picture. See the story. That's a powerful story. And the angel of death began to move over there. But everyone had the blood. And they call it the Passover. And it's still the Passover celebration. But there's another Passover lamb comes. Amen. See, and we find that this Passover, blood of the lamb, takes Israel into the wilderness, and there they don't do too good. Amen. You know, think after seeing miracles like they did, Red Sea opening up. But you know, we've seen miracles and we can still miss it. Hello? I've seen enough miracles to make me believe if I never read the Bible again, but I still mess up. Amen. Hello? So we need to walk with Jesus. We need to walk in faith. So here we come. And God gives to Moses the Ten Commandments, and more than that, a tabernacle. Everyone say tabernacle. Now, I don't think we're getting all religious and funny in this, but the tabernacle was powerful. There was an outer court, an inner court, and the holies of holies. And now, this is what's in your heart, so you better understand it. And that's why your prayer life may not be good, because you don't understand it. This might be why you're struggling in your life, because you think, oh, when I pray, I feel like I'm not talking to God. If you know how to tabernacle, the technique that God has given us to come to him, now comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the outer court is where they obviously sacrificed and the blood was presented. The inner court was the candlestick, seven sticks, the seven spirits that were upon the Holy Ghost. And if you've never been there, you're only baptized and speaking in tongues. You need to go there so that you fellowship and walk with the Holy Spirit. He brings revelation. He teaches you all things. He anoints you to break through. He brings the Word of God and brings power to your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it comes through the blood. And, of course, there's the showbread. The showbread is the Word of God. You fellowship it. You eat it. God told Ezekiel, eat this. He said to Joshua, meditate day and night. Don't put it down, meditate. And you'll be able to fulfill what I've called you to do. Nothing's changed, friends. This is Friday. Sunday's coming. My preach is about what happened at the cross. If you weren't here last Sunday, get that message. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard preached. And Pastor Tim preached it about the cross. He was cursed on the cross and he took our curse. There was blood shed on the cross, and that's the blood that speaks for us. And then it speaks about the fruit of the flesh that was destroyed and buried there. And that's where we walk into freedom in Christ. Amen. I'm just going to give you three quick points in 12 quick minutes. No, 12 long minutes, I mean. I'll be there. You watch. I'll get there. Promise you. You see, we can go on about this tabernacle. And it says this, and we'll read it in Hebrews chapter 9, if my phone works, and I'm smart enough to do it. Probably not. Probably am. Woo-hoo, everyone give a clap. I've done it. Hallelujah. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 9. Then indeed, even the first covenant with ordinances and divine services and earthly sanctuary, it's an earthly sanctuary, for a tabernacle was prepared, and the first part was the lampstand, the table. I've already spoken to that showbread called the sanctuary. And behind this was the second veil, part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And it goes on in chapter 10, says, we enter, you and I enter, how? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not blood put over there. The blood that cleanses, the blood that brings confidence to us, the blood that's broken us from the curse of sin and death and brought confidence in Jesus Christ brings us to a place of the holies of holies. Amen. My phone is not the best phone. Okay. It says in there, there was a golden scepter, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid with gold and the golden and Aaron's rod was manna there, and buttered and the tablets of the covenant and the cherubims were there. I mean, it's a glorious moment. And then it goes on to say that only once a year the priest went there. But I've got good news. I've got great news for you. Because if we read down a little bit further to verse 11, after it says all this, and it says the second part, the priest went once a year into that second there. And verse 11 it says, but, everyone say but. Oh, no, that's hopeless. Come on, I need you to preach with me this morning. I mean, this is such an exciting message. Come on, but. Bit louder. But. Not buddy, not your butt, but. Amen. But. Oh, you silly phone. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come and greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that was not of creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. My question is, what are you redeemed from? It's eternal redemption. I'm redeemed. If I owed a lot of money, I mean, when I was actually running City Point Church some years ago, my youth were going out in the street and preaching. And I said, oh, I'll go down and cheer you on. So I was there watching. They were doing a pretty good job. You know, there was some interesting theology coming out, but you know, we had to adjust. But there was some good stuff, you know. A few kids got saved, and then we're in front of a nightclub, and the nightclub started to come out, and so the commentary from the drunks was fairly colourful. And I was standing there watching, thinking we should close this down now before this modern. And my smart aleck little youth leaders thought, we'll get the old fella and see how he goes. And so they got up and said, we've got one more person to preach. And I thought, who's going to preach? And they said, our pastor's here. And I said, you're getting the sack. The sack is imminent. It's already done, you know. So in my little fury of a moment, I thought, that's not going to help me preach. Jesus, help me. these guys have done pretty good. Now, if I get up there and mess it up, God, they might take my job tomorrow. Hello. I remember from, I walked very slowly from where I was leaning against the rail back at the pub, and some young guy out there said, "He's a bit old." I said, "Thank you, sir. That's a good assumption. That's great." But and somebody else said, "What's he going to say?" So I think, what am I going to say? I didn't prepare for this, you know. I never thought. I just thought how good they'd preached and what they'd done. And I looked up and saw across just behind us, or well, I was seeing it, but behind where we're preaching, an old building, but on the top of it had Westpac. And I turned around and I said, how many people coming out of the clubs and all? I said, how many of us bank with Westpac? Give me a shout. Oh, no. I said, well, how many bank with Commonwealth Bank? What about somebody else? You know, we went through the whole lot. And, you know, everyone somewhere at bank somewhere. I said, how many people got much money in there? How many people got debt in there? And everyone goes, a lot of people go, some old drunk guy goes, I will never pay mine off because they're a bunch of rubbish. I said, well, that's right, yeah. That's what a lot of people say and end up in hell. That's my first statement. And went on to say, you know, that bank represents what Jesus did for us. They could forgive your debts because they've got plenty of money to do it. But they probably won't. But I've got somebody who will stand and redeem you from the curse of sin and death. His name is Jesus. I said, you can mock, you can laugh, but I've got good news. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be drunk. You don't have to be sexually bound and addicted to drugs. I said, you don't have to. The debt is paid. And the power of the one that forgave it gives you power to overcome and live. I said, tonight you need to give your life to Christ. And I was so thankful. Six people gave their life to Christ, and that was more than any of my youth pastors got. And I didn't get any reward for that because I really went with pride and, you know. But six people gave their life to Christ. We followed them through and helped them. That's the redemption. What has he redeemed us from? The curse of the law. For you who are Gentiles, we become one through the cross. For you who are Jews this morning, you got delivered through the cross and we became one. There's no separation this morning, whether we're Jew or Greek, or whether we're Jew or Gentile, whether we're Jew or Aussie, or whether we're Jew or whatever. I mean, Jesus has made a way for all. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. For the Jew, it's the law of commandments. For you, it's the law of sin and death. Hello? We weren't redeemed from the law of covenant because we didn't have anything to do with that. We didn't know it was there. We got delivered from the law of sin and death. Pagans, without Christ, didn't know him. But that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is moving across the world today to influence, to bring power, to bring deliverance, to bring forgiveness to men and women's lives. Delivered, redeemed. When he redeems you, he delivers you. When he redeems you, he sets you free. When he redeems you, if any man be in Christ Jesus, old things, everyone say old. Have passed away. Don't resurrect them. Leave them dead and take hold of the new things in Christ. Behold, all things become. All things become. You're preaching good this morning. Hallelujah. Become new. New in Jesus Christ. New through the power of the blood. See, there's no remission of sin. There's no redemption of sin. There's no power to overcome sin until the blood or the price was blood. And on that cross, as was so beautifully sung by these two beautiful people here, you, Lydra and Chichi, thank you. That was just a marvelous rendition of the picture of Jesus. Carried his cross, carried the stripes, carried the pain. And in the garden, he said this, if it is possible, is there another way, God? Are you sure this is the only way? And I love it that he didn't say, look, I'll give you some time to think about that, God. He said, but nevertheless, not what I want or not what I'd love to do, but what you need to do, I'll be obedient. The Bible says you become obedient unto death. That I might be raised in life. Number one, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Secondly, This morning, could I say this? He gave us a new citizenship. A new citizenship. Now, you say, oh, that's nice. That's a nice position. No, friend, that's not what he said. Peter said, I'll get it right, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, we are a royal, a chosen generation. Who are chosen? Those that have come under the blood and the forgiveness of Christ. But all, the same invitation goes to all men. Jesus is not segregated. He's not racial. He's nothing. He will reach whoever will can come. A new citizenship is this. You ever seen people come into the kingdom of God? They might be very high, profile people and so then you see the broken come in and they've got no profile. And so the profile people are looking for honor and respect. You know, and I've noticed those people don't stay in the kingdom all that long. They struggle. It's like the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. He was a prominent leader, a prominent person. And Jesus said, I want to find out how to have eternal life. Jesus said, go sell what you got. Get rid of that which gives you prominence and come to me who will give you the true life. I can make sure, I can make it up to you. I can make whatever you need up to you. And to the broken person, he didn't say, stay broken. He said, come on, leave that at the cross. See, your prayer life, if it's not following the cross and coming true every day, thanking Jesus that you have left your old life there, you probably haven't got a prayer life. Come on, the technique of prayer is there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, same deal. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, Father. Thank you for your name. Thank you for a name above every name. Thank you that your kingdom now comes within our hearts. Amen. Not out there. I'm not looking to some, tabernacle over there. I'm in my heart worshiping Jesus, thanking him for the blood, thanking him I've redeemed from the curse, but I am now a blessed man. I'm redeemed from the curse of poverty. I'm a blessed man. Amen. Hello. Come on, we walk before Jesus every day. We walk with the Holy Spirit. He's our greatest friend. We come into the tabernacle of our hearts where the candlestick is there, but do you fellowship? See, on that candlestick, there was fire. It was burning. We must have the fire of the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, I'm going to get off my course here. I won't finish in 1 minute. See, citizenship. You're a citizen of heaven, not citizen of earth. You've left that behind. You're not all spooky. You're not up there like that. You see, we're born naturally to walk spiritually on this earth. But sin wants to take us away from that. Sin wants to take us over here. Or sin wants to come there. And then there's the problems here. And they'll always be there. Because that's what the environment we live in. That's the power of Jesus. In the midst of that, he gives us power to overcome. We don't fellowship back there. Oh, I had a bad childhood. I did that. Well, I feel sorry for you and that's bad. But, that's not part of you anymore. If you've come to Christ, everyone say, that's not part of me anymore. Then why are you meditating on it? Wow. Come on, whatsoever things are honest, pure, good, report. Think on these things. Hey, I know it sounds tough, but there's no other way. This is a tough life. This is a tough gig. It's powerful in Jesus. But if you want to mix with the world and that, it's a tough gig. We now have the citizenship of heaven. Wow. We haven't arrived at heaven yet. Me, I'm closer than most of you, but and I'm happy about that. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live. We have faith to live. We have faith to die. Praise God. I often picture myself going through the pearly gates and seeing Peter there, and I trust he's nice to me, but hallelujah. Think about, I often picture, those who have gone before me, the great cloud of witnesses. Anyhow, let's get back to my message and let's finish this off. Amen. This is Easter. This is Friday. But Sunday morning, he rose. He came to Mary in the tomb. John chapter 20 says this. And when he came to the tomb, Mary's there crying and wondering where they've laid Jesus. And he says, Mary. And she says, where did you lay this? He says, Mary. And she says, Master. Wants to hug him and cuddle him. He said, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended. That wasn't the ascension. That was ascending. What did he ascend with? I'll tell you what he ascended with: his own blood. The tabernacle that were made with hands was now abolished. But the tabernacle made in heaven was established, and he had to put his own blood upon that mercy seat. That's the inner court. That's the inner place. The mercy, where mercy comes new. He was rich in mercy, and he's rich in grace. And Paul writes so eloquently to the Ephesian church about the richness of his mercy, about the richness of his grace. Oh, if you don't know what to pray, pray Ephesians. One chapter a day, pray it through. As you get revelation, you'll find yourself in the presence and the glory of Jesus, overcoming sin, overcoming the world, walking through in victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, there's something beautiful when we see that it says here in Romans, how do I get on to Romans when I'm reading Hebrews? Here in Hebrews, it says, and now he's with his own blood, he's gone into the Father and became a mediator. Come here for a moment, Braden. I know you haven't done this, but I'm just saying. Just imagine Braden had broken into the bank and stolen a few million dollars. And he's not a good thief because that's not who he is. And he gets caught. And you know, he's in the courts. And rightly, he has to say, yes, I did it. And that's often happens how we come to the Father. Satan's accusing us. He's the great prosecutor of your life. He comes day and night, the Bible says, to prosecute you. I'm so thankful he's lost all his teeth for me and you. Because I've got a mediator. I've got the blood that speaks for me. Some people wait for the mediator to do his talking and never talk themselves. See, the mediator speaks. And when Braden's accused and they go, well, sir, this is dealt with by hanging. Brings death. For the wages of sin are, but the free gift of God. Oh, that's good news. And Braden's there going, oh. Imagine he just says it. But Jesus speaks up and says, I've got the $1 million. I'll pay for it. Imagine Braden goes, oh, no, I don't want that. No. I don't want to hang, but, you know, I'll give it my best shot to get out of this. But you see, he doesn't get out of it. We've got a mediator. We've got a mediator. Everyone say we have a mediator. Somebody that speaks for you day and night is before the Father. That's why he had to ascend on high with his own blood, the price that went on the mercy seat. So when you're in trouble and you stand and accused, rightly accused, but then we come to the great I Am, the great advocate. The intercedes on our behalf. And if you're a wise Christian, which you all look pretty wise here, you'll go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. I confess my sins. And you're faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Because the blood has paid the price. Hallelujah! You're free, buddy. That's why you're preaching so good. Amen. See, the kingdom of God, when it comes to our lives, is a great mediator. You can't go around and go, oh, I've got a great mediator. How does this outwork in our lives? We come every day to thank him through the cross. And in that presence, to thank him for the blood. And just don't say the blood, oh, I've just got through this. You start to declare who you've become through the blood. You must declare that every day because we've got to make a steadfast confession of our hope. Amen? A confession's not this. I was just praying quietly. No, you're just mind dead. Nothing's happening, friend. That's why you've got a mouth, to eat and to speak. So you speak. You speak confessions. I'm a blessed man. I might have been born in poverty. I might have been born broken. I might have been born and got broken and people did iniquity against me. I was blessed to be in a good home, but I understand the pain of that. But the pain has been taken. He bore our iniquities. He was chastened for my peace. And, you know, I finish on this one statement. I think I've made this statement before. When I got married, I was an instant gratitude person. That was the deal. Come on up, singers, musicians. I am generally finished on this point. And so when I got married, I just thought, well, praise God, you know, wherever Trish in the kitchen, if I wanted to give her a hug, and she'd say, not here. I'd go. I said, don't you love me anymore, you know. And if you have that problem, you just need to break rejection off your life and get the spirit of adoption on you. Amen. We're all joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But I couldn't work it out. And then somebody talked about love languages. And I thought, that's a bit pansy. Why would I want to watch the, you know? But Trish liked the thought of that, so she went and did the course. And she came home and said, David, this is why. I know, Trish. I know. I knew nothing. And then I thought, when she wasn't looking, I got the little book and had a little read. I thought, well, this is why this thing's working like it is. I don't have a love language of quality time. I have a love language of touch. Trish didn't have a love language of touch. So I just want to touch. Probably touch the wrong places sometimes. You know, touch. You know. Oops. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to say that. I know I'm the only one that would ever be a sinner like that. But you know, like. But Trish. Come on, come here. I want your imaginations to come back to Christ. I take those words back. Oh, God's good. And then I came to God, and I found out that he was a bit like Trish. Trish and he had something going for him. That he is a quality time person. He's not a touch person. He's not an instant gratitude person. He wants a life sold into him. He's made a way through the cross of Jesus. And then Paul said this, my citizenship used to be in all the good works, Benjamin. He said, now I count it as dung. If you're a sinner, you'd say, or something. You know, like it's just dung. He said, it's no good to me. I've got a new citizenship with the Jewish Greek. That's who you are. Now, the instant gratitude doesn't come because I've got faith and demand God to do it. It comes because I walk in faith. And the just shall live by faith. And you see, faith's not just grabbing and blab and grab. Faith follows hope. If you have no hope, then you need to come and see your pastors. Find God to walk with you in the Holy Spirit. To find your hope, to find your purpose, to find your position, find your way. Churches often aren't filled with people serving because there's no hope. They haven't got a hope for that. But God's got a hope for that. Come. I'm finishing. I told you that. And see, I found that when I understood Trish, we got on so much better. You know, she wasn't against the deal that I wanted to touch. She just didn't want the wrong touch in the wrong place, the wrong time. And so, you know, instant gratitude, faith. People, well, I have this, God. I should have. Faith brings you to God. Faith walks with Jesus. Faith opens your heart up. Faith understands the blood. Faith wants to come every day into the presence of Jesus. And that technique I've just given you this morning will be a great technique for you to find a way into God, to find your way to victory. And if you're here this morning and have never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, there's a way for you. Simply by opening your heart and acknowledging Jesus, there's no other way. I may be broken. I may have got myself into trouble. But he is still your redeemer. He is still your mediator. He is still the one that wants to walk into your heart and bring salvation and life to you. Bow your heads right across this place this morning. I know many of you love Christ, love him with all your heart. But if you're here this morning and haven't yet made that decision, or as I've spoken, you thought, wow, I need a fresh start in this. I need God to touch me afresh. I need God to walk in my life afresh. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you say, David, would you pray for me? As soon as I see your hand, we're going to pray for you and then release you, and we'll talk to you about how to go next. Lift your hand quickly. Say, it's me, David. I need to find Christ today. I need to know Jesus. I want to come to him. Wherever you are, just quickly lift it up. As soon as I've seen your hand, you can put it down again. We're going to pray for you. Is there somebody like that? It's not so easy to see up here. I don't want to miss you. Right down the back, across there. Yes, thank you, thank you. Is there others this morning who say, yes, David, it's me. I'll give my life to Jesus Christ. From children right through, people lifting their hands. Say, yes, it's me. Yes, it's me. Yes, it's me this morning. Is there somebody else? I feel the tug of the Spirit on somebody's heart and soul this morning. Thank you. God bless you. This is your moment. This is your day. as God touches you. Is there somebody else? Just quickly. The power of God is here. He loves you, friend. Thank you. Down the back. God is with you. He loves you, friend. He loves you. He wants to be your greatest friend. He will forgive your sin. Is there one more? I don't want to be too fast. Just one more. Wonderful Holy Spirit. I want everyone to pray this prayer out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I was a sinner, but now I confess my sin and ask you to forgive me for my sin. I ask you to come into my life and you will be my Savior and I'll be your disciple. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I ask today in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know this message will keep speaking to you as you continue your day. So for more information about City Point West, jump on citypointchurch.com or follow our social media accounts, Instagram, City Point West, or our Facebook, City Point Church West. Have a great day.